Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of NBA.
We're all riding in our low riders today. Happy Melbourne Cup Day, everybody! A little bit of a West Side story there for everybody. Hopefully, we all had a good day on the punt. I had a good day on the punt, so that's why we kicked off today with a little bit of Ice Cube. It was a good day. Welcome everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast. I'm Miles. With us today on the comms, we got Maddie, who's our resident Milwaukee Bucks fan. So yeah, we'll be talking a little bit of NBA. We've got a Final Play Podcast virgin with us as well. He is a New York Knickerbockers fan. Welcome, Aiden. How are you today, good sir?
Oh, fantastic, man. It's always a good day in the life of a Knicks fan.
It's like full of crap.
You don't want to overreact to the start of the season, so we'll sort of kick it off there. So everybody, as the season kicks off, we've all got high expectations. We're all still in the playoff hunt, except for maybe the Lakers right now, but we'll get into that in a minute. Although they did win yesterday, so I think that was I think there was many bandwagoners that rejoiced, whether in locker rooms or around the world that they beat the Denver Nuggets yesterday. But everybody's competitive. The start of the season, I think it's been quite good. Don't tell teams like Utah, that they're on the tank. Like I don't know what, and even a team like Portland, that I'm not sure that if we had very high expectations on. I'd be interested to hear your guys' take just on those two teams and how well they've done to sort of kick this season off.
I'd add San Antonio to that mix as well. I don't think
you're right. The Spurs have been quite a surprise as well.
To be honest, I think San Antonio and Utah are a flash in the pan. They're going to be obviously getting rid of more veteran pieces, so they're aiming to tank. That's what their off-season showed. I think
the only problem is that driving those guys' value up a little bit, not that that's a problem. That's for a problem that a team that could be trying to pick them up. Like this, some of the guys are playing really well, so the price is starting to go up, especially someone like Jordan Clarkson, who I'd heard before the season started that Utah were trying, they were taking offers on.
Yeah, wouldn't mind him on the Bucks, that's for sure. I still, I think they'll sell them for cents on a dollar, because they just want to clear the books of veterans, get as much cap room as possible.
What about you, Wayne?
Interesting. They're in an interesting spot at the moment, because it's like that happy medium between, obviously they don't want to win too many games. They don't want to rack it up too much, because everyone knows what they're going for, but they're also adding value to their current pieces and letting them play and really letting them show. So that way those championship competing teams will go, we're happy to give you this for that. So I think, partly Ainge is probably happy because, picks coming in, but they'll definitely, you'll probably start to see a few things change if the wins keep going up a bit. Look at what Houston did last year. They went on a mad run. They played extremely well. And then the rest of the season, they died in the arse. So, you probably see a similar thing with Utah, to be honest. They're playing well. Coach looks like he's really getting to them. So even driving his value up as well. But
That competitive spirit. We don't want it.
Yeah.
we don't need flat spots from teams, I think, that are going to be bad, that we know that are going to be bad early in the season. It's good for teams, like that. And it can be too that teams that are playing, whether it's Utah or whether it's Portland, might be taking them a little bit lightly as well. And then all of a sudden they get in the fight and get in the grind with them, and they're like, all right, they're here to play. These guys are professionals. Like they should know that, especially at the start of the season, that everything is going to be a dogfight for the first 20 games.
Yeah. I would put Portland in the same boat as Utah and San Antonio. If anything, they've built up to compete this year with Jeremy Grant and guys like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Peyton Jr.
Oh, man, I was so surprised that he left Golden State. I was really surprised. I thought he was absolutely beloved there throughout that championship run towards the end of the season. He was a favorite son, really, of the Golden State Warriors. Well, I know his father was born in the Oakland area, and I'm not 100% sure if he was as well, or if he might have been, Gary might have been still in Seattle, possibly, when he had Gary Payton Jr. So, but do you know what I mean? Like, he's got that Oakland, you know, / Bay Area blood in his veins, and I was extremely surprised to see him leave.
Yeah, but he's gone to a team that is screaming for those defenders. Like, you know, you've got it built around the two guard system, and they've still got that same system in place, those two offensive weapons leading them, but. You know, they've always, well, not always, since obviously Mbamute and all that, they've lacked those defenders. And, you know, he comes in as a somewhat wing defender, joining Grant and Hart and whatnot to really try and boost that defense.
Let's face it, Simon's basically a younger CJ.
Yeah, well, and you know what, though? It's funny because they use him in that similar
CJ
role.
That's skinny.
At the moment, Anthony, his percentages are higher than what CJ's were at that through those runs. So, you know, if they keep going on this trajectory, they could definitely surprise a lot of people. I think they
play in pretty easy.
Yeah, they live it. And I really, because obviously I'm a bit of a Dame stan. You would know that from my card collecting. But, they're living up to their sort of trade at the moment. You know, people have underlooked Dame, as much as sometimes that gets blown out of proportion. They underlook the team and, you know, they've gotten far off that sort of similar thinking as well. So, you know, I think they've got a pretty decent team. Like, I do think that, yeah, they'll fall into that play-in range, but if they went up against, like, the Lakers, I could easily see them ending their season quickly just because, again, they've got the weapons. They do have the defense if they need it.
They've got more versatility.
Yeah, and, they've got players coming along. Like, you know, I think Nassir Little's looked a little bit better. Shaedon Sharpe looks like a really great pick who could add, you know, who could even add an extra element as he comes along because he's only just started playing basketball.
I really like the pickup of Josh Hart as well.
His last
name says it all. You know, the few years that he had with New Orleans, I think everybody fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. You know, in the town, and were extremely sad to sort of see him go. But to see him go up there, and essentially be that same sort of player, that bench linchpin. I think is really good for that second unit there. And look, I love Nurkic as well. Like, I think he's one of the better bigs, in the league. So, I think it's a little more sustainable, I think, for Portland, rather than a team like Utah that you know, obviously is, you know, sooner rather than later could be offloading people. Look, Utah, the pickup of Lauri Markkanen seems to be a bit of a masterstroke. Like, he's been really invigorated, I think, since his stints in what, Cleveland and Chicago. So he's really relished in the change of scenery again as of late. So
he was off to a rough start getting drafted by Paxson anyway. So I mean,
that's true. Look, and I think. The thing is with Utah as well, you know, it, obviously offloading Gobert and Mitchell is even so that they're still could be quite well set up for the future with the absolute ton of draft picks that they got for those two, the insane amount of draft picks that they got for Rudy Gobert. And that, I think, this offseason, we'll move on to the team that I want to talk about to next, in the Brooklyn Nets, and as much as you probably don't want to keep talking about them, but they're an intriguing team. Those two deals absolutely drove the price for Kevin Durant to an unobtainable level for any team.
That's a good thing because none of those other teams had to play with Kevin Durant.
No, well, and that's true as well. And look, they've gotten off to a bit of a rough start this season. They've only got 2 wins on the board. There's stuff out there that I've heard.
If I can say that word, perennially overrated. Just because you've got 3 elite superstars doesn't mean that you're a good team.
No, absolutely not. No, that's right. And that's right. Look, they have, like, Seth Curry hasn't played yet this season. Joe Harris looks like he could be out still for an extended period. So, you know, they're missing 2 sharpshooters right there. Yeah. So
he played against
not
the Bucks.
Getting the floor. Sorry?
Harris, he played against the Bucks. Is he injured again?
Is he back? Is he? I thought he was going to be done for a little bit longer throughout this season, but
yeah,
he could be back already. He could be back already. I haven't looked at anything, especially not any Brooklyn stuff, but not box scores anyway. But I did see something that I don't know if you've seen the highlight the other day where it was like Ben Simmons basically had a wide open layup, and you can hear over the microphones that are courtside to Kyrie going, "Shoot it, shoot it." And then he passes it back out. And then I read an article the next day that apparently he's – reckless speculation right here, but he's afraid to get fouled, and he's afraid to go to the free throw line.
Yeah, he did an airball one too, so that's funny. Like, he's just
what he did too. He did an airball layup.
It's sad.
Why do we waste so much spit talking about a person who hasn't developed one iota since he entered the league?
No, that's right. And that's what the league is now. Like, it is, you know, in the last 25 years, but at least this century, it is about evolving and whether as a team or at least as a player to put, you know, to give yourself an extra few strings to your bow, you know, if you want to sort of make it in this league. And mostly now it's 3-point shooting. Defense is just not, I don't know, it's just not a taught thing anymore by the looks of it. Like, the league average at the moment for each team is like 115 points. So there's no such thing as defense in the league anymore. It's officiated differently, you know, ticky-tack BS sort of fouls and you know, 40 free throws possibly a night. And that's, you know, whether that's entertainment or not, I'm not 100% sure. But there's, yeah, there was reports that I read at the start of the year that, you know, where's Ben Simmons, you know, he needs somebody there to help him out, you know, mentally and things like that. And he's got nobody there to help him. It's like, what are you talking about? He's got Patty Mills there. He's got a fellow countryman there. You can't tell me that Patty Mills isn't helping him out.
I'm sure if he showed any initiative and he needed someone to talk to, he could go and actually hire a psychiatrist to talk to.
It's just got blown out of proportion. You know, it's sad though, because, you know, you've seen how successful he can be. You know, when he was happy with, you know, in Philadelphia with Joel, they were manning one of the best defenses ever. His passing was amazing. And, you know, that, at the end of the day, how often do you see 6'10 point guards who can do everything that he does? And I think that's where there's still the intrigue is, and everything that he can do. You know, obviously he's just absolutely killing his value right now. You know, because what's the one thing that everyone thought Brooklyn would have needed, you know, that defender, that lockdown defender that's going to shut down the other team's best scorer, so that way their 2 scorers can get to work and,
yeah,
you know,
conserve energy for offense.
But the thing is too, he can defend 1-5.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
He couldn't against the Bucks. Giannis is making him look like a chump.
Yeah, well, you see, I've seen the little the 2 small you know, action after Giannis just basically just cinched him in on the block and just backed him down and just put the layup over the top of him, and he gave the 2 small, you know, symbol. It's just, I don't know if it's 2 small. It's just Giannis is just, he's got that body on him now where that's hard to defend.
Who can guard him? My point is
players at least try to guard him. He's just got no heart, in my opinion.
You know, right now he isn't getting the respect that he got either. Like, you know, when they played Dallas, Luka was putting Ben in the pick and roll so he could attack Ben nonstop. Now, I think,
but that's what you do. That's a smart team.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the media have taken a little bit too far too, because, you know, some of the plays Ben had on Luka were okay. Like, he actually, you know, playing good defense, but obviously none of that gets shown. Like, even though, you know, he's become like the Kyries and that, where it's just, drama central nonstop. But, you know,
Kyrie's having a running battle with reporters at the moment as well, with his sort of this stuff that he's not so much he's trying to say that he's not supporting it or anything like that. He's just posting it on Instagram, like, and he's, he had a running battle with Nick Friedell, one of the I think he's just the Nets reporter, and they went at a press conference a couple of days ago, and it's just like, oh my god, like Kyrie won't back down, and it's just and then like on the back burner at the moment is KD's actually he's playing pretty good this year.
Oh yeah, well, you know, Kyrie has been playing well as well, but it's just, you know, I think one thing we're seeing from this Brooklyn story, which it will be interesting in a few years' time when we look back, maybe you don't sell your soul to the devil, because, you know, look at what they gave up.
Yeah.
And look at
they've done it twice in the last 10 years.
Don't learn from their mistakes.
No, like, it's, you know, at least I can say, I mean, the Knicks would have done it, but I'm glad that we have gone down a different route now, because, you know, like, it doesn't always work out. Just because you have stars doesn't mean it's going to work out. No. In a circumstance now where it's just looking, they're becoming an absolute joke. Like, you know, you've got one of the best players in the world and your team just, it looks like you've got no chance of doing anything.
You can only have one of those types of personalities per team. You can't have three on the one team. It's just not going to work.
Two, I think two on the same team is bad enough, but having three there is, you know, and like we're only a fortnight into the season, but it just seems to be a recipe for disaster at this point in time. And look, this ship will eventually get righted. You would think they'll put together, you know, a decent run. Even if it's into next year, I think they'll be able to work it out and put a decent run together and maybe sort of get around, if they're going to sit around that 7 or 8 spot, which is obviously not where they want to be. They want to be a powerhouse in the East.
I'll be highly surprised if all three of them were the trade deadline.
Yeah, well, let's not forget, KD did throw his coach and everything under the bus before the season as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and like, as much as it might be reports, the owner came out and said, we stick by our coach. So it's clear that comments were made about the coach. How do you go forward with that? You know,
he thinks he's the GM. KD thinks he's the GM. And then he gets right. He goes to the owner and says, oh yeah, I want Sean Marks, the GM, and the coach Stephen Nash gone. It's just like, well, who was you?
You. What have you done for us?
Yeah, that's right. What have you done? Not even what have you done for us lately. What have you done for us in a black and white uniform? Nothing.
And you know what?
Your feet are too big. Otherwise, you might have been in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
It's funny, too, because you think about it. Like, they took him on with his Achilles injury. They went through his rehab with him and
yeah,
all
that's
that.
Right.
And, you know, he pays it back by doing that.
They had a dead weight year.
I could almost see, even if the Gobert trade didn't happen, that they still do it just to say, no, fuck you. You're not having your way. You're not dictating what we do. You know, if we're not trading you. You're going to stay right here and you're going to play for us because we rehabbed you. We did this. We're paying you. So I wouldn't be surprised that even if the Gobert trade didn't go through, if they still said to teams, we want everything you've got, basically because they don't want to trade him. Because, again, they've already given up so much for him. And then he wants everyone gone and he wants this, he wants that.
Yeah. No, that's right. He'll come in and think he runs the joint. But that's like, the thing. He'll want to go to a team. He doesn't want to go to a team that have just offloaded everybody so they can get him. Yeah. And then now it's the built-in excuse if he goes to that team of, oh, well, I don't have any people around me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like they just up, you know, if a trade happens, then we've just offloaded everybody to get you. So and that's the catch 22 with a, you know, with a superstar like that. It's either got to be it can't be assets and good players. It's got to be an all-star caliber player, if not a genuine superstar.
Yeah,
it's not going to get. And you saw how dead the market was for Kyrie. Nobody wanted him.
No,
right. Even after he sort of held out and the deals and that, and then all of a sudden it's like, 30 million a season. Not much happening in the trade market. Okay, I'll take the 30 million. Okay.
Yeah, about the only only speculation I heard was him for Westbrook.
Yeah,
value is it?
Yeah.
Well, and what did you know? I heard as well is KD for Anthony Davis.
Oh, I have not heard that one.
I could have been fooled by. There would probably have to be something else in there as well. I do remember hearing Westbrook and Kyrie deal, but no, that when all the KD rumors were being thrown around, and that's just rumors, that there was definitely one that was KD for Anthony Davis, and it's like, woof. I don't know what you do with that.
No, nothing.
He's already missed games already this season, AD.
Yeah.
Games. We've had like 7. He's missed games, plural, already.
Can we move on from the Nets?
Yeah, no, all right. Let's,
it just irritates me talking about.
Yeah, no, let's piss the Nets off. There, you know, we'll see what happens when it comes to them.
Every other possible media area
from them. So.
Yeah, well, that's right. What do we think of the situation in Boston with the Ime Udoka? I guess year suspension, is that going to hinder them come down to the end of the year, or just their superstars will just power them, through all that, and they probably don't need, not say terrific coaching, but yeah, guidance in that regard.
I think the importance of a coach in the NBA is minuscule in comparison to the NFL.
Yeah, there's definitely
Greg Popovich.
He got Duncan to start his career with.
I will say
one of his first executive orders back in the day when he was the GM of the Spurs is get Dennis Rodman out of here, out of here. I don't want to have to deal with that blonde-haired idiot. I want him gone immediately. And that was none more true than they only got Will Perdue for him. So that's but that's the executive orders that come from Greg Popovich. But look, I mean, I think during the regular season, coaching isn't as input, still important. But when it comes down to game-winning situations, end of game situations, and in the playoffs, coaching is I think it's imperative.
Especially on the defensive end, I think that's where it can really, like, because, you know, the offensive
drawing up, yeah, it's like drawing up offensive plays, especially in the last 5 years of the NBA, is easy.
Yeah, but
it's getting stopped.
Ime Udoka is putting Robert Williams as free safety in that defense. That's what changed their direction, So, like, yeah, I agree. And, like, and there's different types of coaches too. There's your X's and O's coaches. There's ego coaches and whatnot. Coaches you bring in because you've got stars, and he's just there to, you know, not take the shit and try and, you know, bring something to the team. But I think Boston is in just a spot now where they've just got to keep rolling. And from what I've heard, the coach they've got is very well respected.
He's come from within the organization. It's Joe Mazzala. Yeah, I think he's been on the staff for a little while there, so he's very familiar with. All you have to do is be super familiar with is Tatum and Brown, and you know, you will have the respect of the rest of the locker room, because those two are the guys that are going to fuel this squad into another deep playoff run.
Horford is also there too, like, you know, he brings it with
player coach now,
and the thing is, they've just made the right moves, you know, like. They haven't made any moves to send them back. They've brought in another guy who can run the ball, bring the ball up for them, who is an all-around really good player. Bringing in Derek Williams, I thought was an excellent move, because he just suited their team really well. I just think they're deep. They've got two really good players who, you know, are great on both ends and can bring in any night. And then you've got dudes that can step up. Grant Williams, he can step up.
Yeah,
Marcus Smart, he's a player of the year. Like, they've just got... they've got dudes who can bring it when the two dudes aren't bringing it. Like, they're deep. And I think Brogdon, you'll see, he'll come in. He will come in playoff time.
Once he's acclimated into the system, back end of the season, Malcolm Brogdon is going to be he's going to be up there as a very important piece for this team. When it comes to the playoffs, big time. Well,
Wifey's going to be torn if he ends up bloody helping to defeat the Bucks in the playoffs. That's going to cause some issues.
That will know better than anyone.
That'll be a joyful Sherrington household.
Yeah. 50, 40, 90 players. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shame they lost Gallo for the season before it even started.
Nah, that's right, in the Euros.
Yeah.
I presume you're talking about Derek White. Not Derek Williams, the Minnesota bust.
Yeah, no, don't take one. Right, 100%. Yeah. He plays the next
one. He's one of the biggest busts in the last decade.
What was he?
Was he top five pick? Top what? Yeah, what? No. No, two? Number two? Yeah, wow. And just went nowhere, did nothing. And that's definitely. What do you think about Minnesota at this point in time? What do you think with the essential two center twin towers type game that they're going to play? Is that going to be? I sort of see it as an a la what New Orleans tried to do.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. They've tried it before and it didn't work. Cousins.
But you know the huge difference there is AD has more of guard tendencies than Cat or Gobert have. You know, he's someone who can bring the ball up. He can run. He can, at that time, he
can shoot. Cousins then before he ruptured his Achilles.
And Cat's just not, he's not like that. He's soft. And Gobert, you can't expect him to do any of that. So it's just, it's not like those AD and DeMarcus were two versatile big men that could have run that system. And they had, even though, you know, he wasn't a sole focus piece for them, but they had Rondo, who was one of the best point guards ever.
That's right.
His, you know,
had a 22 assist game against Portland in that playoff series that they had.
25 assist game.
He's the ultimate pass first point guard.
Yeah, yeah. So look, I think it's, you know, you've heard some interesting things come out of their camp, their locker room. Hey, like Anthony Edwards saying he prefers to play small ball.
That'll go down well.
Cat not liking the fact that they all find it funny that Anthony Edwards eats fast food and that, like, and saying that to the media, like, I find it funny. You're like, you know, it's still the lingering, like, Jimmy Butler leaving there, you know, going, you're all soft, all sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I find it funny, and it's not good. I don't see it working.
Yeah, I think Cat could still be a little bit butthurt about that.
I think they'll probably get sixth or seventh seed.
Besides the fact that all Cat wants to do at the moment is shoot like 9 threes a game.
Because he's a 3-point champion. Yeah, but you know what, though?
Was he a 3-point champion or the... it was the year before that he won the skills thing. Yeah. Which nobody cares about. But
I think they've put themselves in a predicament where he's going to have to be efficient, not shoot a heap of threes, but he's going to have to be a really efficient 3-point shooter because otherwise, Gobert is going to get played off the floor again.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's going to go out to him.
Yeah, and could that...
The blueprint.
He's in the West. The thing is, it's not as if he's moved to the Eastern Conference. He's still in the Western Conference, and how much of a disappointment has Utah been over the last 3 years or so that they've had Mitchell and Gobert there at the sort of peak of their powers, Mitchell being the defensive player of the year, and when it comes playoff time, you can't have him on the court.
You know, and I think teams will look at Minnesota and go, I want that matchup.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. You would not be afraid of Minnesota in this incarnation at all.
Not to mention it's basically turning Towns into Love with the Cavs with LeBron. He's basically just a stand-up three-point shooter.
The only thing is it would take Carl Anthony Towns, it would take Cat like 4 games to get as many rebounds as what K-Love would. K-Love was the Minnesota incarnation of Kevin Love was an unbelievable rebounder.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Cavs version of Kevin Love.
Oh yeah, well yeah. No, I mean I'm saying in the same jersey. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a funny sort of situation there in Minnesota. It could be a little bit disjointed.
I like that. Well, hey, like that's the thing, and I think most of their success doesn't hinder on K cat, and it doesn't hinder on Gobert. It hinders on Anthony Edwards being a superstar.
Anthony Edwards come out and said, pretty much said throughout the offseason that he wants to be the MVP this year. He wants to be the best player in the league this year.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they've basically done what the Nets did. They went out and got a superstar when they didn't need to. They had the best starting five last year based on net points against, points for against. So.
And how often do you get into the playoffs like that and then, you know, and then if they had kept that team together, they would have progressed naturally.
Yeah, exactly. Based on
what they've done.
I would have thought so.
You know,
but
this isn't working. Like,
no, but that's the thing. I guess they're trying to stay ahead of the curve a little bit because the West is wildly competitive.
I don't think it's as competitive as it is.
There's still some awful teams in both conferences, but yeah, I think a little bit of parity is starting to spread throughout the league a little bit. Like you've seen. Yeah, the playoff scenarios towards the end of the season last year with the Eastern Conference, how, was it 3, 4, and 5 all finished with the same record, and then it just come down to divisional matchups and stuff like that. Like that can that can absolutely happen again, and that's a good thing. That's parity. That makes none of this bullcrap play in or stupid tournament that they want to do mid season or anything like that. Like that you want to play the end game. This is a marathon, not a sprint. It's 82 games. If you can't get the younger generation engaged, and then all of a sudden towards the end of the year, you're 4 or 5 games out of either a playoff spot or the play-in, then it's like, well, why weren't you engaged 30 games ago? Like, everybody just wants to play the end of the season game. It's just like, oh, well, they better put together a good run, in the last 25 games. Then, no, you don't. You need to be consistent throughout the year. Like, you need to be engaged from game one, and it's showed this year that if you're not engaged in from game one, then teams that look like they're going to be horrendous knock you off. And that's been abundant in this first fortnight, I think. Well, look, we'll go with what do we think about Denver? Championship material?
No, I don't know about that. I think they could definitely make the conference finals.
Jamal Murray hadn't played a game in 520 plus games. 520 plus days. He basically hadn't played since the bubble. God damn it, I hate that word. He hadn't played since the Orlando restart that we had near 2 years ago. It's the linchpin, I think, there for them to sort of go from a good team to a great team is Porter Jr.
Yeah, and his health, really. Hey, like him.
No, that's right. Everything to do with him, whether it's health, whether it's development of game, which we all know that he's got when healthy, that he could absolutely take over as I guess a second option there. But I think he's going to have to be resided until he can prove his health. That he's going to be the third string to that bow. Like now that Jamal Murray's back,
they've already got Bones Holland. They got their third string.
Yeah, he is.
Your boy Bones, you love him.
Yeah, there's only and at the end of the day, there's only so long you can continue to ride one person and whatnot and hope that it's going to help.
Would have been exhausted after last year.
And the same sort of circumstance too. You know, if Jokic is going to be their only player, then who are the teams going to be planning for? They're not going to be planning for anyone else. So if they can have their other playmakers step in and
they have to,
they have to, then they can be very successful, you know, and we know that Murray is a playoff player. So, you know, if they get there, I would back him in a lot of matchups. If he's on the floor, if Porter's on the floor and if Jokic is out there, because they've got dudes that can put it on.
I put them sort of in the same basket as Philadelphia. I think they've got this, they're genuine superstars that they've got there. They've got one of the best bigs in the game. But I think depth is a real concern when it comes to Denver and Philadelphia. Can they, especially when come playoff, look, when it's playoff time, it's usually a 7-man rotation anyway. So, but you still need to have those 6th and 7th guys that are going to contribute, because if they do nothing, then too much comes down to your starters, and you need to be able to sort of sustain momentum when you're resting your starters. So especially in the playoffs, that's where it comes down to. Regular season, probably not so much, but if it's going to be as competitive season as what it's been this year, look, it's the old cliche, you know, every win counts. Yeah, not like the NFL where there's 17 games, but every win, I think there's going to be teams that make the playoffs or finish lower in the playoffs that'll be like, oh wow, you know, geez, we dropped a couple of road games or something throughout the season that we could have absolutely won, but we didn't. Yeah, you know, we bombed. So I think a lot of teams will happen. Especially, look, Philadelphia, I think they're a little concerning at this point. I think James Harden, I think this year is going to be a Jekyll and Hyde kind of player, and yeah. I think they need to sort of shuffle him down the chart a little bit there, and I think they need to elevate Tyrese Maxey into a more prominent role, especially offensively, because man, he has taken off from where he left off at the end of last season.
And please trade Matisse to a team that'll play him.
Oh my God, he's not even getting any minutes.
Well, you know, one thing that you can see happening in Philly is it's becoming the Daryl Morey, James Harden, Houston Rockets 2.0.
Houston Rockets show.
And
let's
think,
bring in PJ Tucker. Woohoo!
I think it's pissed off Joel a bit too, to be honest.
Well, so, these aren't moves. The James Harden move is a winning move, but none of the other ones are. They're not moves that are making the team any better. It's just getting his boys in there.
I don't know. I think PJ Tucker's a winning move. It worked for the Bucks.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Yeah, it didn't work for the Heat.
Usually does.
The Heat
getting paid more money. They also got Daniel House as well. You know, the old Houston Rocket.
No, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, they're just all playing in the Liberty Bell uniform at the moment. That's such a bizarre. Do you know what I mean? Like it's out there for everyone to see. It's on Front Street that it's just getting his favorites from Houston back in there. It's very.
I think Melton's playing well.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that's right. He is doing well. So,
one situation though that I put stock in coaching, because I do not rate Doc Rivers when it comes to the time, and I think I don't trust him to make the right moves when they need it. Like to
still riding that championship from 13 years ago.
Yeah, like I think he's showed too many times that he's been a part of teams that choke, and he's got the ultimate choker in James Harden on his team. So
have a look at his record with that unbelievable team he had at the Clippers, mm-hmm. and he couldn't even get them to a conference final.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and people want to call Chris Paul a choker, and I won't have any of that talk, but. It's unbelievable that he couldn't get that squad over the line at least once and just stumble your way into a conference final.
I think it's just been too consistent now to where it seems like a thing. It really does. So.
Oh yeah, no, it's, and look, he might have the good coaching philosophies and everything out there, and when he goes for interviews. Clearly, he says the right thing and makes you a believer. But I pretty much read that there was calls for his head last year.
We all know
who's quite possibly going to come in for that. If Daryl Morey's running the place, then watch out for Mike D'Antoni.
That's one of my little things that I've thought about. They'll get Mike, and it'll be the offense again. James will be doing step backs.
We want to run that 10-second offense. So a couple more teams I think that are worth mentioning. We did talk about the Clippers there before. What do you think can happen with this trio that they've put together there now in LA with Paul George, the ever non-existent Kawhi Leonard, and John Wall?
I just think they're a team you don't want to see in the playoffs.
I wouldn't really call that a trio. I don't think John Wall's a star anymore.
We haven't seen him play in 2 years.
Exactly.
I can agree with Matt in the sense that I wouldn't call it a trio, but their depth makes a trio. Paul George, Kawhi.
No, that's right. They're one of the deepest teams in the league.
Like, yeah. That's again, like, they're one of the teams where I could say, screw what they do in the regular season, because you know they're going to play in the playoffs, and you know that they can beat any team on any night in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just going to come down
once again. Yeah, already Kawhi Leonard has missed multiple games, and
he won't play a lot this season. I could foresee it, and then I could see him coming in and playing almost every playoff game. I think he's just that sort of player now. You know, and again,
that's what it is. He's the inventor of load management.
Why that's allowed, I don't know, but yeah.
No, well, that's it too.
I'm allowed to think, but teams are allowed to sit their stars for 50 games.
No, and that's
where from all over the world to come and watch you play, and you sit or you sit.
No, that's right.
Piss me off.
Sit for me when it comes to that. I think it's sit. If you're going to rest them at home, because your home fans get to see him 41 games out of the year. Like, you know, if they're a Western Conference team that's going. Say they're going to New York or Boston or somewhere like that. Like, you know, that's their one time that they're going to that place. Like, they should be playing. And if they're an attractant, like a Kawhi Leonard, they're a popular player. Then I think, you know, a healthy DNP should not. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do about it. What do you do about it?
There's got to be like.
Fine.
A verified test to say you're actually injured.
No, that's right. They've got the teams, they'll find a way to be able to get around that and try and designate some sort of injury for them and say, oh, you know, after the post game press conference, after the Bucks game, Kawhi Leonard slipped down the stairs and now he's got a calf injury and he's going to miss the next three games. Like, you know, they'll find some bullshit way to get around it.
Yeah, so just like even towards the end of the season when like the Bucks, like I'm looking forward to watching a game in the Arvo. If they turn it on, they've decided to rest Giannis, so I'm automatically about 50% less interested in the game because
that's right.
Yeah. And that's just watching it from home, not let alone paying a ticket to go and watch the game in person.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're paying big bucks to sit at, you know, floor seats.
Yeah.
And what happened the days where it was like, you know, the good teams will do this, but, you know, I can understand resting them against the shit teams. Like, yeah, we're not going to send you out there because if you do your ACL against the fucking Kings, like, that's a waste of fucking time. But getting them in there against those bigger teams, especially ones that you could see in the playoffs, because you want to try and get those advantages through the season, but Kawhi's just resting against everyone. It doesn't matter who the fuck it is.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Aiden, this is a PG show, by the way.
Sorry.
Fight against your natural nature.
Ping pong, I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, no, that's right. Look, I think one more team, unless we've got anything else to sort of, an intriguing team, to talk about, and you know it's been a glaring story over the off season, and I left this purposely till last. It's the our defending world champions in the Golden State Warriors. When does the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, you know, sucker punch heard around the world? When does that start to rear its ugly head throughout the regular season?
I don't think it will. I think they're too professional an organization for it to cause a major ripple.
That's great. You're still talking about Draymond Green here.
It's a weird situation. You know what pissed me off more, though? How, you know, he came out and made his little weird movie thing. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, playing on this situation, you sucker punch someone, mate. Why are you?
But then it's like, oh, I'm going to take some time away from the team. It's just like, that's great, yeah, that's good for you being proactive. But like, do you know what I mean? Like that was weird in itself. That he's come out and said, yeah, no, I need, you know, he's had stuff from, you know, that there's possibility that he's got stuff going on in his personal life, You know, maybe, you know, he's in the Tom Brady situation where he's getting divorced. I'm not sure.
Flash and chips with Josh Primo. Who knows?
I don't think he's got a supermodel like Giselle as his wife. But
yeah, I mean, we're not sledging Draymond Green here. We're talking about whether it's going to impact their performance during the season. That was the question, and I don't think it will.
I think it rears its ugly head towards the end of the year if they're not quite where they're meant to be, because look, they are not blowing anybody's skirt up by any stretch of the imagination at this point in time. They have just pumped out an unbelievable amount of money to Jordan Poole, to Andrew Wiggins. They've obviously got Curry and Thompson on the hook. You see the jawing that went on in, what was it, game 4 of this regular season between the Warriors and the Suns, where apparently that was Klay Thompson's first ever ejection. I can't believe everybody gets ejected these days, but that was, you know, that he was giving the four gesture to Devin Booker, and it just got super chippy throughout that game. And it's like, wow, this is like the fourth game of the season.
And yeah, but how is that a cause for concern with the inter Golden State franchise? That's just,
no, I'm just saying that when it comes down to, you know, if they're 60 games in and they're floating around 500 or a few games over 500, and there's a situation that comes up in a tight game against Phoenix, against Denver, against a good rival against them that they could possibly see in the playoffs. And if there's a missed shot, if there's a miscommunication, if there's somebody somebody doesn't come off a screen properly and doesn't defend a shot properly, and they lose, the first person who's going to go after and if it's Jordan Poole, the first person who's going to go after him is Draymond Green.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think everyone knows their place in the hierarchy.
No, of course they do, but in the heat of the moment, I absolutely can see it happening.
What I can see happening is, yeah, because Jordan, you know, he's got his money, and you know, he's gonna play well, and he's probably gonna be their second best player because Klay obviously isn't looking like his former self, and Draymond's never gonna be really leading them in terms of the stat sheet.
I think Andrew Wiggins is a bit better than Jordan Poole, no?
He is, and he's probably going to come up more in the
playoffs.
There will
be no disrespect of Michigan Wolverines on this podcast. So I'll just have you know that.
I love Andrew Wiggins, but I think Jordan's going to be their second best player this season, and I can see him balling, and I can still – because Draymond calls out anyway. Doesn't care if you're playing well or not.
He doesn't care who you are.
You can see, you know, I can see Jordan, you know, he's made some threes, and then he decides he's not going to pass up and run their usual play, and then Draymond gets in his ear, and he says, Mr. Triple Single again. And then, you know, because obviously that's where apparently a lot of the talk sort of stemmed from. And I can, you know, Draymond's already got in his wheelhouse that he will sucker punch people. What stops him from doing it again? I don't think he's going to get his money from them. And I don't think he's going to get his money from Golden State. I think he may have screwed himself in that department. But
I'm going to do some serious editing of this podcast tonight.
Good scrub of Aiden's meal.
Oh, mate.
No more beers for you, all right?
I've got to be PG all day. It's so hard to come home and be PG.
Hey, I am absolutely in a non-PG environment at work, and I can restrain myself. So you just keep it under your hat. just to sort of circle around with that, like, yeah, I don't know. I honestly do think it's going to pop up. It's not going to happen. I think this is going to be a slow boil.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying that they're not the Nets. They're not the Lakers. I don't think they really air their grievances in public. The only reason that people found out about that was because some TMZ fool was in their bloody recording video.
How the hell did they even get in there in the first place? Like, nobody even knows who that or where that video came from, yeah?
Oh, I reckon they've probably worked it out within the organization by now. But, you know, the one thing I will say is, like, with Matt, don't forget, Draymond has affected them before with his stupid decisions in the past. You know,
kicking people in the nuts during the finals cost them a championship.
there's a good chance they have a championship now because of that. You know, he's known for making very poor decisions on the court at times. He's one who's, you know, refs don't generally don't put up with him much anymore. Like, he got, oh, he didn't get ejected the other night. He did get teched up, though. And he still abuses refs. Like, he's happy to do that.
Not going to take him long to rack up those 16 techs that you need throughout, you know, throughout the year to be missed start to miss games.
And how much, you know, as an organization, if he keeps going with that and, you know, then gets suspended for games or whatever, and then you look at what he did at the start of the season, how much do you keep going, man, like, you know, you do a lot of good, but, man, you do some silly stuff too.
Well, wouldn't they have made that move after he cost them the championship?
I don't know. Like again, he is too much of a value
add. He had age on his side then.
He didn't sucker punch a teammate at that point either. True. So, look,
I like Vontaze Perfect, so I like myself a villain. So that's all.
It creates for a great watch through the season to see what they do. But yeah, it's going
to
be.
He just used to poleax people for fun, like. I think not so much people. I think just people in Pittsburgh Steeler uniforms. I think that's what it was.
A certain Mr. Antonio Brown, yes.
He had it in for him. Oh, good God. Oh, all right. So, look, I think that's unless you've got any other teams that you'd like to sort of throw out there that I think that have got some intrigue this year. Look, Oklahoma City.
Fox is rolling, baby. Fox is rolling.
Oh, look, you know, and we'll get to our teams in the end. But yeah. Are there any other teams out there that you could sort of, you know, who's, I don't know, where do you, yeah, who's impressed you guys so far this season, and who's disappointed you?
In relation to a preseason expectations, because I think
no, not preseason expectations. I think just through this,
Miami's underperforming. But, I mean, it's six games in. They'll sort it out. They're another team that I have confidence in. As much as Aiden loves to hear that.
Hey, I will say, their offense may not get them to a championship.
Yeah, but they're a professionally run organization. Yeah. I can't see them being under 50% for very long.
No. They're just too good of a team. They'll make it to the playoffs. They'll make it to second, even conference final. Like, yeah, they've got that in the tank. Again, we've already spoken about
them.
I'm impressed with Portland. I'm impressed with Dame. We've spoken about them. I'm loving Pelicans ball. I know that blows your head up, Miles, but I love the Pelicans. I love what they're doing.
I'm still reserving.
You're gonna be a glass half full fan until they win the championship, aren't you?
Miles,
I'm gonna be as humble as humanly possible until they just start destroying everybody. And look, you know, it hasn't been the way that they're playing at the moment. You know, even without Zion, and Zion came back against the Clippers over the weekend, and he looked pretty good. They've had BI's been in concussion protocol for the last couple of games, so yeah, that I guess that symmetry hasn't really sort of come out. Yeah, they lost their home opener to Utah, which was brutal.
They're not looking too bad.
Apart from that, but watching the Dallas game the other day and watching it live, the noise in the arena was a playoff atmosphere. It was their second home game of the season. I just want to see that energy and that enthusiasm later on in the season.
Look,
and that was the game with no Zion and no Ingram.
I think one thing you can hang your hat on, and I think the team is really going to think about this heading into this season, you know, like they almost embarrassed. Obviously, they did get embarrassed. They almost embarrassed the 60-something win Suns, and they took it to them. Young players, first time in the really as their playoff run, these young guns, and they took it to the Suns. And they're going to go in going, you know what, we've got our team back this year. We've got more. Like, these guys aren't going to mess with us. Like, that, they impressed me so much last year off that performance.
They're about as deep as Memphis as well. So they're well set for the future.
That's right. And I think that's the problem that Willie Green, I think, will have there is, I guess, trying to sort out minutes for everybody, because Najee Marshall has played really well off the bench this year. Trey Murphy is... Oh man, I've got so much expectation of that boy this year.
Herb. But
like Herb, when he comes back, he's missed the last couple of games as well. I think this is hopefully this is going to be sort of one of those. But they've got humble stars on there as well. You got CJ McCollum, who's not over the top. Like Brandon Ingram is as mellow as what his face is. Like, you know, he is the most mellow dude that's going around at the moment. Yeah, they've got Valanciunas, who's not an ego.
Wifey calls B.I. Stoner King, so that's
all. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's on the good stuff.
Pineapple Express.
Just like Ryan's on the good food.
Well, you know, he's looked, you know, quite impressive, I think, this year, that the games that he's played. So I'm absolutely sort of reserving my judgment and excitement for later on in the season, but I think the Pels have looked quite good, apart from that, from that disappointing home opener loss to Utah in overtime, which McCollum was massive in that game, but he is absolutely going to be a key to what they do, and obviously health is going to be a big one as well. I didn't think a concussion would be taking this long for Ingram to come back, but they're definitely
Muck around with that stuff.
Not anymore. They don't. But the hit that he took, I thought was a little innocuous, and you're like, oh, okay, that's right. We're going to leave him out for a week now, are we? But anyway,
The only transaction I can see needing to make is getting trading Jackson Hayes to the Nets just to add another head case to their roster.
Absolutely. Like he's been a little bit flat to start this year. He had himself some off-season drama this year as well. So whether that's sort of come back to bite him in the ass a little bit, it looks like he's sort of, because he was a big part of their rotation last year going through that playoff run. And yeah, he's an athletic big.
Yeah.
He is a really athletic big. He's got good handles for a big guy, but I'm just, it's funny how he just not really fit in this year. So
yeah, you're building that Bucks culture there, mate. Bunch of good hard workers. You don't want some
lunch pail guys. That's what you want. Lunch pail guys. Lunch pail and hard hat. So what do you think Matt, this year? Bucks. Obviously Giannis MVP, championship material.
Six games in a ring, mate.
And no Chris, correct? Yet? No Chris yet?
No Chris yet, yep. And no Planet Pat.
Can I just say one thing? You know, I just, if they had Chris last year, I could see them going and winning the ring last year.
They went to seven against Boston.
They're just insane. Like, they're so good. And I think, you know, my it's probably more of a hope, but I could see, if he recovers, Ingles being a real nice little spark plug.
Yeah, that is a big if. It's going to see the interest, because he already looked like he was losing some athleticism, whatever little athleticism he had before he got injured.
But you know what? Like, He's a smart player, a really smart player.
Oh yeah, for sure.
On a team that's smart. So
I just want to see him spark up a few superstars with his nonstop shit talk. That'll be funny.
And that, you know, that actually comes in handy, because I think it played a big part for them against some teams in the West when he was doing it. So he's an excellent move. They just continue to be an awesome organization. So yes, Matt, revel in it.
Oh, well,
yeah, absolutely.
I went through 15 years of what the Knicks have been going through for the last two decades. So, yep, I could fully feel your pain, mate.
Oh, mate.
What do you think, Aiden? The garden, can it be lit up again? Or what do you think for the Knicks this year? The Jalen Brunson move in the off season had quite a lot of attention about it. I think it's looked like a pretty good move. He's looking pretty good.
It's been a long time since the Knicks have had really good point guard play, and they've got players who need good point guard play.
Don't be doing that. We had three weeks of the most unbelievable point guard play in Linsanity. Don't you dare do that. Don't do that.
Like saying, yeah, Pablo Prigioni, he was awesome. Loved it.
Oh, no, no, unbelievable. 39-year-old point guard.
No, but, you know, like, that was great. And, and in typical Knicks fashion, though, like, you know, targeting every big name. And that's one thing you always got to worry about. Like,
just pay the man. He made Madison Square Garden fun to be at. Pay the man.
Hey,
yeah, the Lakers didn't give up any draft picks for Mitchell, which I'm very relieved about.
There's one word for the Knicks' future. Well, actually, there's two words, sorry. And that I can never be overly hopeful, and it's James Dolan, because, you know, he loves to have his say. You know, big names come up, he might say, yeah, let's do it. Like, yeah. So I'll continue to keep looking at the team and going, yeah, cool. Like, you know, we look okay. We'll probably be playing at best. You know, I'd like to think we had about 37 wins last year. Jalen Brunson should be able to add 3 to 6 more wins on top of that.
Yeah. No, that's right.
So,
look,
you know,
I think it's a case for the Knicks of, you know, like you said, that they've failed to attract the big name free agents. So that means it's either got to be done through the draft or in trade.
You know,
that just limits who you can get.
Or just do what they've been doing on the right track. Yeah, they might win a championship next year, but it's so refreshing to finally see them build through the draft instead of just going after endless over the hill bloody veteran who was a superstar who's past his prime. It was their MO for years.
I just do worry in that terms that, because Thibodeau's always been play the vets, play them heaps of minutes. Mm. You know, like, I really
get time to develop. Yeah.
I really think as much as Reddish is iffy, we weren't going to win anything last year. He should have got massive minutes. He's what the league wants now. Three, he can shoot threes and he plays defense. And I thought that was Tom's MO. And I like the lineup of Brunson, RJ, Reddish, Randall, and Mitchell Robinson. I think that's a really nice lineup to go forward
with.
That's a good
five man rotation.
Yeah, when we got Cam, I was so excited because I just thought he fit our MO. And then, you know, whatever happened there, and it soured me with Tom. You know, and hopefully moving forward this season, we've already seen Reddish play quite well, so I'm hoping that goes forward. And we do have some really nice young players.
Chocolate Toppin.
Victor Grimes is someone I'm very excited for because he has looked decent. He's looked really good. He's looked mature on the court. But again, like, the one thing I any team that needs to aim for, and I think the Knicks can do it, it just worries me, the consistency. You beat the bad teams and you try and come off 500 against the good teams and you'll find yourself up there. You know, you've got to go out. You know, the teams that you need to beat, you need to beat them. You can't play around, you know, and then 500 teams that you come, the better teams in the league come up against, try and come off 500 against them. And you'll probably
just the Kangs.
Yeah, exactly. And we just keep.
Now, I thought they were going to be so much better this year. Like, and they've just been awful again already. Like,
Kings.
They've just far out. They've been disappointing.
Can I just say, in the Knicks, another thing the Knicks did, I think they had one of the most underrated off-season signings in Isaiah Hartenstein.
Good pickup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, as much as Brunson's our big one, I like that more because that is a dude coming off behind Mitchell Robinson, injury, inconsistent. Isaiah Hartenstein has shown himself as a pretty good center.
Are those advanced stats extrapolating to extended minutes though?
I think he had a 31 minute game the other night, potentially. I'm not sure on that, but look, he's doing a good job as a center off the bench. And I think, again, Mitchell Robinson has missed so much time. As much as I love him, he's missed a lot of time. I could see Isaiah getting so many more minutes as the season goes through. And he's just a hardworking dude, one of those lunch pail dudes.
Hmm.
And I think the Knicks fans are going to love him. Yeah, anyways,
we can them in every team.
We can go to the...
Absolutely. Yeah, so, well, yeah, that's what I mean. And you need that. You absolutely need that. So yeah. He's just trying to pull up his... Look, he's averaging 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, so... It'd
be a career high.
Yeah, no, that's it. Look, he's getting more... Like, if I have a look on here, he's getting more minutes than what Obi Toppin is.
Yeah. Well, look, I honestly... He's a damn good signing. He's a good player, and I loved that for the Knicks. I was like, that's a smart move. You know, you're not bringing in some big name center who's well past his prime because he's a name. You're bringing in a dude that showed up. He You know, he's a good player. He's a hard-working player, and he's going to fit your system.
They still got Noel on the roster?
No, Pistons. I believe he's gone to the Pistons.
Yeah, he's definitely not. He's definitely not there anymore.
No, the bag went. I thought he went to the Pistons.
If we keep filibustering here for a little bit, I can find out.
Because they paid him pretty decent money, didn't they?
Yeah, not
I think they did, actually.
Not as much as he could have got, thanks to Rich Paul. But no, we did pay him decently. He was all right. Like he showed up, played defense, but you know,
all he ever was basically. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't look like he's on their active roster right now.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play much more basketball.
No, he lasted longer than Okafor, so give him that.
I don't know. Like, if Okafor was born 20 years earlier, he's a league MVP.
Yeah, but they knew where the league was going. They shouldn't have drafted him that way.
That's true, but still.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a wasted skill set.
Mm.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. Like, surely that's the thing. Like, you know, whether it's a team out there that nobody's willing to go, we want to go low post, like kind of game anymore. Like, there's still absolutely room for that in today's league. Absolutely room for that in today's league. But you just need, I think you need the right coach, the right system to be able to implement.
If you want to have a low post centric big, you need to have four spaces around him.
Oh, there doesn't need to be that many, but that's where the league is, though. There's plenty of floor spacing going around. You can have him go to work in the post.
I do think there's been a bit more of a call for good middle of the line big men who you don't have to pay big money to, who will come in and play hard for your team. I think, and those guys are actually doing quite successful now. You know, the dudes that they're not the Joel Embiids, but they're not going to, you know, they're not going to give it away every night because, you know, they're rubbish, because there's still some good bigs, but then you can, you know, use them against a team like the Warriors and utilize that size.
I just wish rim protection
is always still going to be relevant.
I just wish my boy Rashawn Busta Rhymes Holmes would get traded off the Kings to a decent team.
he's a good dude, a good player. I don't know why he hasn't been picked up by someone else.
True.
Languishing with that expletive of an organization.
Oh my God, they've just, you know, if you're Tyrese Halliburton, you would just be saying all the hallelujahs and praise plays in the world. It's just like, oh my God, they got him out of there.
Can they just swap that uniform with a good team? So yeah, you'd actually want to buy it because it's my favorite uniform in the league. Because it's just, I'm not going to buy it for such a terrible team.
Yeah, I will say
the only time that I would ever buy a Kings jersey would be a Chris Webber one.
Yeah, Chris Webber throwback one. That'd be
That'd be it. Maybe a Peja Stojakovic.
You know, they didn't go full Kings in the draft. Getting Keegan Murray was not a typical Kings move. Like that, if they were going to go full Kings, they would have drafted Jaden Ivey and had a whole front court of that would have been the full Kings move. I think, you know, drafting Keegan was a very smart decision. You know, if they can continue to try and make those sort of decisions, they might be looking
these. Hell, they trade him to the Pacers for Miles Turner.
And that's a distinct possibility as well. But don't let Lakers fans hear you talk about that, because that's all they want. We want Buddy Hield. We want Miles Turner.
I want Hield and Turner, but we're not giving up our first.
We're not giving up our 2027 and our 2029 first round pick.
That's
out of here.
When James isn't there, isn't it?
Where's the other coach? Yeah,
I'm surprised they still even had first round picks that far. I thought we had them all.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing. Before we move away completely from anything, that's one thing I think people don't think about with New Orleans. You guys have like 13 firsts still. How insane is
that? On top of the very strong foundation you already have.
Next year is the first of the pick swaps.
Mm. Yeah.
So, as much as the league won't
every
want
night
the
before
Lakers.
He goes to bed, little Miles is getting down. Please let the Lakers lose another game.
Oh, God.
Be
Please let the Lakers go 20-20-62.
Yeah.
Is it totally unprotected?
The pick swap. I think the pick swap can be moved, but this is the first year of the pick swap, and then I'm pretty sure all their draft picks, like all their first rounders, are all unprotected.
But
there might be like maybe top three protections, but I don't think the protection is very much. But I think those later ones, those 25, I think the 25 one is unprotected. But yeah, next draft is the first of the swaps. And then it'll just goes on and on from there. So, bring on a 15 win season for the Lakers. That'd be, but even then you still only got 14% chance of picking up the number one pick anyway. The league has made it that way. So
you guys don't need one picks. You just need more good building.
Solid team. Rotational players. Yeah.
And hey, you can always, there's always the chance, not that like obviously you want to go down that route, but those picks could be valuable to another team to flip out.
Exactly.
Really,
you just try
consolidate and yeah,
that's what people want. Yeah, even picks can be a crapshoot. The best thing you can have is picks, because you get rid of them so somebody else can make a mistake in the draft rather than you making a mistake.
Proven player or a draft pick any day of the week.
Oh, absolutely. Even if it's somebody that's 3 or 4 years into their career, but they're on an upward trajectory, is so much more, especially for a team like the Pels, is so much more valuable than a pick that you don't know when it's going to be, and in a draft class that could be a total crapshoot. So yeah, no, they're good assets to have. Ask the Thunder. I think they're probably the only team.
I'm starting to wonder about the Thunder. I mean, how many draft picks do you need to make? You need to start making some moves soon, because it's just, what, are you just going to play farm league for the next 3 years and see?
They want to be a machine gun. They just want to shoot as many bullets as humanly possible, and hopefully they hit on one.
Well, they're not going to keep SGA if they keep it up too much longer, because he's going to get tired.
No, that's true.
And the problem is they're in a predicament now. It's like, if you keep drafting dudes, who are you giving minutes to? Who are you taking minutes away?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no...
That's right.
At a point where they need to start moving those picks and getting some players in to help start steering them in a direction they obviously clearly want to go.
But if they want to do that too, then it's a clearance of dead weight, not so much in picks but in players as well. So that's what they've got to do. That if you want to give those stars the chance to shine, nobody's going to want to sit on the bench and not get any minutes. In Oklahoma City, that's crazy.
Yeah, that'd be a bit of a slap in the face. Yeah.
Oh, big time. That's me. They need to open up roster spots. Like there, they need to start
just
clearing some of.
Poku trainers has left the station. It's not happening. Move on to that one.
I think your boy Chet. Whenever he comes back and see what happens.
Chet's a god. Just ask Aiden. He's been bagging me about that pick in fantasy for about the past 3 weeks straight.
Nah, all good. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Alrighty, I reckon that'll do us. Thanks again, peoples, for some good NBA chatter. You can find us on social media. We are on Facebook, so you can just search on Facebook the Final Play Podcast. We're on Twitter. The Twitter handle is at Final Play Pod. So you can check us out on Twitter. Give us a like, give us a follow on there. Our podcasts are available on SoundCloud. You can check us out there. We are also on Spotify, which is probably a little bit more popular for everybody. We are also on the Gimco Podcast Network, which is on Spotify, but you can also get our podcasts on the Gimco website. GIMKO, check those guys out. They've got a Facebook affiliation, and that's Eureka Sports Cards. So you can check those guys out on there. They do AFL, they do Major League Baseball, they do the NFL, they do the NBA. Mojo King and Dom have always been sort of big supporters of us here. They've also got Dan that does breaks as well, Dan Rains. So check those guys out. on their website, and you can get into to card breaks with those guys there, which we're all a little bit sort of fanatical on, you know, especially the three of us. So we're all we're always in for a little bit of card collecting action.
Anyone excited about Mosaic?
What's to be excited about that? Like, you know,
I do like the stained glass inserts, but yeah, that's about the extent.
I don't know. They weren't as good as those innovation ones in 2012 and 2013. Oh, I think they were. I think that they had the right one there. So yeah, I much like those acetate ones. Besides the fact that I've got a full set of one of those, but we'll.
Bloody dog.
Hey man, that took me forever to get that set. There's 75 of them. that was an undertaking that I completely overestimated.
And if anyone wants to shout Miles or I a Flair MJ Hot Numbers,
please,
season, just for
please
free,
be reasonable. Be reasonable
person,
with your price, be people. Be reasonable.
$200 Australian. Come on, mate. Do it for Australia. It's just an Australian thing.
You know, we go back 3 years ago and we were scoffing at $200. So let's get some balance here, people. Come on.
Think about the poor people.
Think about the people that just want to finish their goddamn sets.
Good luck with Wemby coming out, boys.
Oh.
Yeah, hopefully you'll sign with Upper Deck, so I don't need to worry about it.
True. That will be a hot ticket next year. Hot ticket. And that'll be the thing. That all that's going to do then is just like this
drop
year.
The price up again.
Yeah, that's right. This year it's actually been semi affordable to sort of do a little bit of card collecting. Next year,
is it 23 or 24 when it goes to Card Fanatics?
Next year?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Not sure. I know that Panini have gone absolutely balmy with WWE this year. They're just blanketing the market because they've pretty much stolen their product from Topps. So they're doing all the same sorts of thing. Prism, Select, all that stupid crap. Now they've got Impeccable coming out. So it's just like, as much as I love Impeccable, but it's just like, it's all this. It's just like, I swear I've seen this before. They've done this with basketball. They've done this with the NFL. You don't need, you know, 600 different products, like, far out.
Yeah.
Frustrating. Topps had three really good products. Topps Finest, Topps Chrome, and Topps Undisputed for WWE, and they were all quality. That's all you need. You don't need eight different incarnations of the same brand. Insane.
Wipey side-eyeing me, fellas, so I better get up.
Yeah, well, I've got a bed to put together, so this is all heading in the right direction. All right, thanks again, guys. Thanks, Aiden. Thanks, Matty. We'll talk to you next time for NBA. We'll definitely be doing some trade deadline stuff for the NFL as well. So, hopefully we'll have Jason back for that as well. He seems to go missing all the time in western parts of Queensland. So we've got our core group here. But we'll definitely be talking to you guys soon. So thanks a lot. Thanks, boys.
Cheers.